Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
An FBI sting takes down hundreds of suspected criminals around the world. Plus, what's behind the latest sell-off in the crypto market? And an oil company that went green. What we can learn from Denmark's state oil business.
They actually completely sold out of oil and gas in 2017 and haven't looked back.
It's Wednesday, June 9th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News. The top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with the global law enforcement sting known as Operation Trojan Shield. The suspected criminals were duped into using an encrypted communications platform secretly run by the FBI to hatch their plans for alleged crimes, including drug smuggling and money laundering. Here's the WSJ's Byron Tao.
U.S., European, and Australian officials announced a takedown of global criminal networks based on the fact that the FBI was running this encrypted app called Anom, and officials announced that hundreds of arrests, hundreds of search warrants, tons and tons of illicit narcotics were all seized. 17 individuals were charged with racketeering and conspiracy related to running and distributing this encrypted messaging service. This is the third or fourth such service that's been disrupted or shut down, and this is one of the largest. This was a real blow at criminal networks that are trying to keep their communications private and really show that law enforcement around the world is going to take this threat seriously.
In Washington, the Senate approved a bipartisan $250 billion bill Tuesday that would boost government spending on tech research and development. The U.S. Innovation and Competition Act is aimed at reversing trends in U.S. competitiveness, including its shrinking share of the world's semiconductor manufacturing, allocating $52 billion for semiconductor production in the U.S. It still needs approval in the House. Separately, President Biden called off talks with a group of Senate Republicans without an agreement over the administration's infrastructure plans. Negotiations broke down on disagreements over cost and whether to raise taxes to fund the proposals. It means Democrats will need to find other ways to push Biden's infrastructure package through the Senate this summer. And later today, President Biden will depart for an 8-day overseas trip, his first as president. It comes ahead of the G7 summit, which begins in Cornwall in the UK later this week. Also on his itinerary, a meeting with Queen Elizabeth and consultations with NATO leaders and EU members in Brussels. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. We'll get a look at video game retailer GameStop's quarterly results after the bell today. We're also expecting to see an overhaul of its board. We'll also be watching the crypto market after a sell-off on Tuesday involving Bitcoin, Ether, and Dogecoin. For more, markets columnist Mike Bird joins me from Hong Kong. Glad you're here, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Mike, just looking at some of the data we saw, Bitcoin, for example, sliding more than 12% before recovering some ground. What's perceived to be the reason behind this and the other crypto declines?
Well, I think one of the immediate shocks is due to the sort of perception of increased regulatory pressure and scrutiny. In this case, the Justice Department, the U.S. Justice Department, on Monday said that it had recovered 64 Bitcoin from hackers who hit the East Coast fuel pipeline with a ransomware attack last month. Things like that are a relatively big deal in terms of, any pressure that Bitcoin's going to come under in general. This idea that it's used specifically to facilitate these sort of ransomware attacks. And if regulators and prosecutors, for example, get this into their heads, that's a negative for the asset overall. I think it's negative for how much mainstream people in finance want to engage with it. And it's a negative just in terms of the bad attention it's getting.
And Mike, as far as some broader context, these last few weeks have been a bit rough.
Yeah, so you had this amazing run for Bitcoin sort of through the end of last year and the early part of this year with it hitting record highs. And then what you've seen since is a bit of a cooling, basically. Some of that is down to actually Chinese regulatory pressure as well. And the Chinese government has gone very sour on the idea of allowing the operation of Bitcoin mining and Bitcoin trading in the country. There's been a lot of communiques coming out of Beijing cracking down on these things. And a lot of Bitcoin mining is done in China. So again, that's seen as a general negative thing. And it really feeds into this picture of global regulators in general becoming somewhat more skeptical of cryptocurrencies.
Mike Bird in Hong Kong. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Just ahead, an oil company from Denmark is transformed, setting the stage for green energy. We'll look at the broader impact after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Whether it be pressure from the government, the public, or even activist investors, oil companies are preparing to go green. This means shifting away from traditional carbon fuel sources to more earth-friendly energy like wind and solar. As industry giants like BP and Shell look to write their next chapter, they'll need innovation and, of course, capital to make it happen, as well as motivation. One place that's seen success is Denmark. Danish Oil and Natural Gas, the country's state oil company, once did what many other big oil companies do. It pumped hydrocarbons out of the North Sea. Now it's transformed itself into the world's largest developer of offshore wind energy. It rebranded as Ørsted in 2017. So could the efforts in Denmark serve as a blueprint for other oil companies and their future plans? For some answers, let's bring in WSJ senior energy reporter Sarah McFarland into the conversation. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sarah, can you first take us back in time when the Danish oil company was focused on drilling and not the renewable side of things? What sparked this transition?
Sure. So the company was established by the Danish government in the 1970s when oil prices spiked because of unrest in the Middle East. And at the time, Denmark was heavily dependent on oil imports, and it generated much of its electricity from oil. So the government was really motivated to source oil from closer to home in the North Sea, and to also try and switch to other fuels for its electricity generation. And then if we fast forward to the 2000s, Ørsted, as the company became known, merges with several Danish utilities, and through that, it inherits what was the world's first offshore wind farm. So it already had some experience in offshore wind, but this really boosted its foothold.
As far as making that shift toward wind energy, can you give us a picture of exactly what they did? How long did it take? And are they where they want to be?
Well, initially, it was really hard. They needed to invest a lot of money to build up the nascent business. But it was at a time that they were having problems in their oil and gas operations. And this combination saw their debt balloon. They also faced skepticism from their main shareholder, the Danish government, given offshore wind didn't have a long proven track record for being profitable yet. And it was around 2012 when a new CEO was appointed. So this new CEO reviewed the 12 different businesses which the company was in and decided that it really only had an edge in one of those businesses, which was offshore wind. So they should really double down on it. So the company sold off assets, cut costs, and it bought in some external investors. It bought in Goldman Sachs and two Danish pension funds to scale up and really start bringing down the costs associated with offshore wind.
Sarah, so many questions about money. This is a substantial transformation. Businesses and investors will want to know how this changed the company's bottom line. Is the company able to contend as a global competitor.
Today, the company is now larger than some oil majors such as Italy's Eni and Occidental in the US. It's worth noting that subsidies were definitely a key component to their success, and today subsidies for offshore wind energy are shrinking or even non-existent in some markets. It's also worth noting that the returns are lower, and so that's an adjustment that investors have to make to their expectations. And also, you know, inside oil and gas companies where management are used to targeting returns of, say, around 15%, you compare that to what Ørsted targets, which for some of its projects, it's looking at returns of 7 to 8%. You know, that's really quite an adjustment in expectation.
Big picture, Sarah, we're in a moment where companies like Exxon, Shell, any carbon intensive company for that matter, are looking for some guidance. What could they take away from the story in Denmark as they establish a guidebook?
Well, today we are seeing companies like BP and Shell invest more in low carbon energy, but they're not giving up on oil and gas. And we're seeing a pretty broad array of the sorts of things that they're investing in, whether it's electric vehicle charging stations, wind and solar power, or carbon capture and storage. I think one of the main things companies trying to transform can take away from Ørsted is how they really had a laser focus on offshore wind. They actually completely sold out of oil and gas in 2017 and haven't looked back. Having said that, they were much smaller than the likes of Shell and BP, which might have also helped.
Sarah McFarlane, always good to talk to you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And finally, the airlines are dealing with a heavy lift of sorts. To keep each flight within the aircraft safety limits, the Federal Aviation Administration is requiring updates to passenger and baggage weight estimates that airlines use. Here's our WSJ Middle Sea columnist, Scott McCartney.
We're getting bigger. Passengers are getting bigger. They're stuffing more into their bags, both carry-on and checked. And it matters. The weight of the plane matters quite a bit. From what I've heard from various airlines, they're adding 7, 8, even 9 pounds per passenger. People are 5 to 10% heavier than they were in the previous survey. And also 5 to 10% on baggage. And if you add all that up on a 737, could be looking at 3,000 additional pounds that they have to calculate for with the passenger weight.
And what about the impact on passengers?
Particularly this summer, there may be more flights where more people get bumped off the airplane or more baggage gets left behind. Typically, flights that are flying into strong headwinds, they need to carry more fuel, so that's a weight problem. And flights taking off from high-altitude airports or on very hot days when there's just less lift produced by the wings.
There's a June 12 deadline for each U.S. airline to submit a plan for what average weights for passengers and baggage they'll use, down to phones and clothing, and how they estimated those weights. The FAA has to approve each airline's plan. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Please let us know what you think of the show by giving us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.